We've asked Amanda. Is it? Yeah.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I'm an alcoholic. I have a home group in St. Pete. It's the Stepsisters. My sobriety date's May 14th, 2010. So I'll start off with when I was little. I don't know that I had any. When I think back on it, there was definitely some patterns that showed that I didn't deal with reality very well. Just watching a lot of TV and kind of living in sort of a fantasy. I really liked fantasy shows and make-believe. And there were signs that I just could not cope with things the way they were. And I started drinking really young. I started at 9. Obviously it wasn't for social reasons. I just remember feeling like I wanted to quiet the noise. There was a lot of tension in my home. I don't know that that was the reason for my alcoholism, but I remember the desire was to just quiet the noise, and it seemed to work pretty well. I didn't really get into problem drink, although it's a problem when a 9-year-old's drinking. But I didn't get into like partying drinking where other people knew. And that was the other thing. It was like a double life. Nobody really knew that I did those things. I was a good kid, and I made good grades. And I had this persona that I worked really hard to keep until I was about 15 and started drinking at parties. And then I started getting some feedback about my drinking and realized it was sort of a problem. And I actually had a teacher that was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was in some AP classes, and one of my AP teachers was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and pulled me aside and had like an intervention for me. And after a while, I decided to try and get sober. I started going to meetings when I was about 16. But I didn't understand the whole abstaining from other substances thing. I thought my problem wasn't alcohol. My problem was blacking out in front of other people. And if I could just not do that, then there wouldn't be a problem. But there was no way I could feel the way I felt. I knew I couldn't do that. So I tried that for a while. I even picked up chips in that time. After I graduated from high school, I actually had an overdose that sent me to the hospital. It was an ischemic attack, which is a mini stroke. And so that was enough for my parents to kind of accept what was happening and send me to rehab. I went to rehab, and then I went right to college because nothing was wrong, you know. And you're young, and you were just like on the cusp of addiction, but not really, you know. You're in the abuse stage. I heard that a lot. You're in the abuse stage because you're 17, and no 17-year-old could possibly be, an alcoholic. So I went right off to college, and I stayed sober for about 6 months. I got into a relationship right away. And it was the worst 6 months. It was just a time of a lot of fear. I had a lot of panic attacks. I was, oddly enough, terrified of death, considering my behavior drinking. And it was miserable. I was so lonely. It seemed like everyone in my peer group was partying, and that if I was going to hang out with them at all, I had to be the weird girl at the party who didn't drink. I did that for 6 months, and then I drank. And my drinking sort of continued on. My grades dropped. My parents made me come home from school, and I had a full ride through college. You know, they had everything paid for, and I threw it all away. Came home and proceeded to pretty much couch surf for the rest of the time. I was drinking until I got sober at 24. So that was from 19 19 years old on, I was pretty much, I didn't have a place to live, and I was sort of living at the mercy of other people, which is kind of a scary way to live. And then, let's see, in 2006, I tried once again to get sober. I heard about YPG and that there were other young people, because that was my big complaint, that there weren't other young people trying to get sober. And so I tried to get sober, and I worked the steps, and I fellowshipped, but I didn't practice the principles. There was no carryover. I didn't have a spiritual awakening, and I didn't live the principles of this program, is the best way I could describe it. And so eventually it got very painful to be sober. It was hard to look myself in the mirror. It was hard for me to live with myself. And so I reached a point where I just started drinking again. And then, so at that point, I was back. I was in a halfway house, actually. And so it took a while, and I eventually got kicked out of the halfway house and went back to my couch surfing lifestyle. And then things kind of continued on. It got much worse, but I sort of, the best way I can describe it is, instead of it shocking me when bad things happened, I sort of just lowered the bar of expectations. And I got used to a quality of life that would frighten me today. And at some point, I ended up in this situation where I was homeless, and I was abducted. And I just remember and kept for 13 hours, and then I got away, and that was when I was 23, so a year before I actually got sober. And I just remember this startling realization that I thought I understood when I was drinking how it was going to kill me. I thought that I was going to, you know, aspirate or, you know, something like that. I never thought that my drinking would take me to a place where somebody else would take my life. And that realization is really what led me to get sober. It woke me up. And I spent the next year sort of, you know, just continuing to drink. And it was like agoraphobic. And I hear a lot of other people say that, you know, at the end of their drinking, where they never left the house and were just terrified of other people. And their place was just disgusting and gross. And they didn't, you know, and I lived like that for about a year until, you know, finally I got arrested. I was driving and I got arrested. And I ended up being able to get into like pretrial intervention, so I don't have a record, thankfully. But when I got arrested, it was enough that my family was willing to step in and send me off to rehab again. And this time they were smart and they sent me out of state so that nobody could come bring me anything or break me out or anything like that. So I went to Tennessee and got sober in the Smoky Mountains, which was really beautiful. And I was there for 3 months, which was much better for me than the 28-day. You know, I know we don't need treatment, but we don't need rehab necessarily. But for me, being able to stay somewhere for, you know, 3 months that was totally safe really helped me because I was not thinking very clearly. I heard it put, and I agree with this, that, you know, when we first get sober, the things that will save us scare us, and the things that make us feel safe are the things that are going to kill us. And for that reason, I'm really glad that I wasn't near anybody who could have helped me hurt myself, you know, during that time. And then when I came back, I went into a treatment center, and I also did intensive outpatient, so I did a lot of treatment. I was in treatment for a year and 3 months. Essentially, I did intensive outpatient and the pretrial intervention, and I stayed in the halfway house for a year and a half. And I, of course, graduated from the pretrial intervention, and they didn't charge me with a felony, which was nice. And then once I got sober, I had a few times where I really had to dig deep and face my fears sober. And one of the big times was, you know, when my mom, she put me in an apartment after I got out of the halfway house. And there was a moment when my sponsor said, okay, now it's time to be fully self-supporting, you know, through your own contributions, and you need to move out of that apartment. And I had to go pick out my own place. She wouldn't help me. She wouldn't let anybody else help me. I needed to go find my own place and sign my own lease and do all that myself. I was terrified, and my mom was terrified because of all she had been through, and not having that control that you have when you're paying somebody's rent. And she threatened to never speak to me again, to disown me, and all of that stuff. And I just, that at that moment, I realized how much faith I had in this program and my sponsor, that I was willing to let go of the only safety net I had and just do the next right thing. And I did that, and it really changed my life. I moved to St. Pete, where I kind of always wanted to live, and I found an apartment that I could afford. And, you know, I went back to school. I went back to school at about 2 years sober, which I forgot to mention. But I went back to school. And so last April, I got pregnant. That was another thing that was not expected and was very frightening for me. So I have a beautiful baby boy. He's 9 months old. And another thing that really rocked me was that my partner left after I had my baby. He was 4 weeks old. And that was a very tough thing to get through sober. I never understood the value of women's meetings until that happened. And I remember I was going to meetings all the time, and I called my sponsor, and I'm like, I'm just not feeling any better. And she's like, you're not going to, but you're just going to go anyways. And I got to just go and just go, you know, and it still hurt like hell. But I wasn't alone. And I remember people calling me up and like, just no matter what, stay sober. And the beautiful thing is I didn't feel that way. I felt like, thank God I'm sober. Because I remember, you know, the last horrible thing I went through that I had to reference this with, I went through alone in a dark, gross, dirty room, you know, with nobody to tell me it was going to be okay. And this, I had people, you know, bringing food by the house, and people came and visited me, and I never spent one lonely moment, and I got so much love, and it just made it so much easier to feel that pain, to feel those feelings, and to work through it, and I don't have to run from them, you know, and that's the best part about being sober is I can learn how to look at things the way they are. And accept them, feel them, and realize that that feeling is going to change. You know, that the good and the bad, they're cyclical. And that, you know, that's just been the most beautiful thing. And I think that's all I had. So thank you. So I know I'm ending early, but...